This is the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones.
Brady takes the snap, back to throw, gets rid of it down the field. Caught, 20-yard line, 30, 35, 40, down the left sideline. He's going to go the distance, a 99-yard touchdown play.
The Sun Life Patriots postgame show is your source for instant news and reaction following every Patriots game.
The Patriots are Super Bowl champions.
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Adam Jones.
Welcome into the Sun Life Patriots postgame show here on patriots.com. Adam Jones with you for 2 hours following Patriots Saints preseason opener for New England. They start off the preseason with a win, 7-6 over New Orleans, and it was predictably a mixed bag. First time out in the preseason against a team that had already played a preseason game, so theoretically had a little less rust to knock off. And I'll tell you what, mixed bag, ugly game in general, but two main takeaways for me. One, the rookies look legit. The rookies look legit. Chandler Jones was immense in that first half. Dare I say, unblockable. And you heard members of the New Orleans Saints, Jermon Bushrod, among them, single out Chandler Jones in practices, joint practices earlier this week, and said he reminded him of Jason Pierre-Paul. Well, I'll tell you what, it's one preseason game, but there's a lot to be excited about with Chandler Jones. And by the way, drew a couple of holding penalties on Bushrod. I thought Dante Hightower was less impressive out there. I thought especially in pass coverage, it was shaky at times. But still, someone to be excited about. And Jake Beckett showed up with a sack. So the rookies seem legit. That was takeaway number one for me. Takeaway number two, offensive line, not so hot tonight. Specifically, Nate Solder. They had a lot of trouble protecting whatever quarterback was in the game. Specifically, Tom Brady. I'm still not overly concerned about it. I think Dante Scarnecchia will get things sorted out. And I still think a lot of your best linemen who should be there for the season opener when the Patriots begin their season, you know, Logan Mankins, Sebastian Vollmer, Brian Waters, I think those guys will be ready to rock for the Pats come the season opener. And even if not, I think Dante Scarnecchia has a month to figure it out, but that was not a promising opening game from the offensive line. So we'll take your thoughts on the Patriots 7-6 preseason opening win over the New Orleans Saints here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones for a full 2 hours following this one. Here's how you get in touch. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. Later on in the program, you'll hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick, his thoughts on this preseason opening win. Also, Tom Brady, Patriots quarterback, a rocky first outing for him behind a porous offensive line. You'll also hear from him on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Before we get to either of those bits of audio, let's do the good, the bad, and the injured.
Now it's time for the good.
Nice!
The bad.
You don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
And the injured.
I've fallen. And I can't get up.
This has been the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones on Pink.
Already over, huh, Kevin?
Already over.
We're already wrapping this thing up.
This machine must just be.
Gotta tell you what, preseason for all of us here on the Sun Life Patriots.
It started off
show.
So promising, too. I haven't dusted this thing off in, what, 6 months?
The good, the bad, and the injured, my man. We do it each and every Patriots postgame show here. We go back, we look at some of the highlights, the lowlights, and also injuries for the New England Patriots. I think the obvious good for the Pats tonight, Chandler Jones, forced two holds on Jermon Bushrod on the third drive for the New Orleans Saints. Also had a couple of pressures, including one on the opening drive, where the Saints had their ones in, their starters, including Drew Brees, who was relatively quiet tonight, and we'll get to that momentarily. I thought Chandler Jones was immense and lived up to the hype. I didn't love the draft pick at the time. I'll tell you what, it's only a preseason game, but I am starting to change my mind on Chandler Jones. I thought the running backs were also on my good list, specifically Shane Vereen. 7 rushes, 63 yards on the opening drive of the second half. However, he had 0 snaps in the first half, clearly at the bottom of the depth chart. That said, at the beginning of the third quarter, I thought he ran well. I thought he looked elusive, and that's why the Patriots took him in the second round. So consider who it came against. I thought he looked good. I also thought Ridley looked good when he was out there in the first half. And I'm comfortable with Ridley being your lead guy. 8 carries, 40 yards, didn't put the ball on the ground. I think that's what most Patriots fans are looking for. Also, I thought Jerod Mayo played very well in this game. Tipped a pass that eventually led to a Steve Gregory interception. He also had a pass breakup earlier in the game. I thought Jerod Mayo, especially in pass coverage, was good in this game tonight. On my bad list, the entire offensive line is on there, but especially Nate Solder. This is a guy in year two who I personally, and I think the Patriots, are expecting quite a bit from. And he held up at right tackle in his rookie year. And Bill Belichick does not typically miss on first round picks. You can go back. There are very few busts and, you know, very few even underwhelming first round picks from Bill Belichick. So I'll still give Nate Solder the benefit of the doubt. That said, the reports coming out of training camp are not shining with Nate Solder. And tonight had a couple of holds in that game. He was not the one who got Tom Brady's block knocked off. That was Marcus Cannon, who also had a false start tonight. And Brady reamed out his offensive line at one point. I believe it was on that second drive for the Patriots. CBS television, WBZ, was able to pick up Brady, just reaming out his guys on the offensive line. So he's in midseason form in terms of that. Thought the backup quarterbacks were disappointing throughout the course of this one. Ryan Mallett, 8-19, 89 yards and an awful pick. Brian Hoyer, completely uninspiring. Came out in relief of Brady, was pulled relatively early. Maybe it was by design, maybe it wasn't. Came back out to start the second half. Not much more there from Brian Hoyer. I still feel all right about the Patriots' backup quarterback situation, but tonight was not their best night. And finally, on my bad list, not a good night for Sterling Moore, who I'm still high on in the Patriots' secondary. Got absolutely torched on that 46-yard pass interference call in the second half. And you can call it a questionable pass interference all you want. A well-thrown ball there, and if Drew Brees were still in the game, that would have been a touchdown. So he got torched on that play. There was also a play earlier in the game, and this didn't go 100% on Sterling Moore. It was between he and Pat Chung. But remember that 30-yard catch by Roby on 3rd and 22 that gave everyone flashbacks to the Super Bowl and Mario Manningham? That can't happen. 3rd and 22s can't be converted. So Sterling Moore also on my bad list. On the injury front for the Patriots, it's a bad one.
Dane Fletcher. Brutal.
Goes down covering a punt. And according to Ian Rappaport of NFL.com, or the NFL Network, rather, torn ACL for Dane Fletcher.
Brutal.
And I'll tell you what, it would have been bad anyway. He's someone who you certainly expected on this team. But especially in light of Brandon Spikes not being good to go, we don't really know the full injury extent with him. That's a tough injury at a thin spot for the Pats. And I thought when Hightower moved inside after that injury, he didn't look great. There were a couple times where he got lost in the wash on screens over the middle of the field, or short passes anyway, over the middle of the field. So we'll see if he's the one who kicks inside. Maybe it's Mayo who kicks inside. Maybe it's Carpenter, and they keep Hightower and Mayo on the outside. We'll see what the Patriots do there, but that could be a key injury because the Patriots are already thin on that front. One other one, Britt Davis, late in the game, went off with an apparent shoulder injury, did not return. So those are the injury updates on the New England Patriots. And again, you'll hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick coming up here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Get his thoughts. I'm sure, Kevin, he'll be extremely forthcoming.
He will.
On the injuries.
I got a good one for you, though.
Game.
One that not many people probably saw. I'm fortunate enough to be down on the field, so I kind of see things a little bit differently. Marquise Cole, special teamer, stood out to me tonight. Got a lot.
Bombed down the sideline on that one play.
He did it multiple times.
Yeah.
And I openly heard Pepper Johnson come up to him and be like, "That was kamikaze." Like he was fired up. And you saw a lot of the Patriots starters, especially the starting defensive backs, coming up to give him props, meeting him out at the hash marks when he was coming off the field. So he was a guy that, you know, maybe not a whole lot of people notice, but to me, in an area where the Patriots, I think, need to improve, he flashed to me a little bit tonight.
Yeah, no, I thought he did what he's supposed to do. You know, he showed up on special teams. And that's why Marquise Cole is here. So again, we'll take your thoughts throughout the course of the Sun Life Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com. We are live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can get in touch. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio@patriots.com. And a couple of things we're going to hit on throughout the course of the show. What'd you think of those rookies? They were impressive to me, and they were one of my two major takeaways in this one. Second point, how concerned are you about the offensive line? I wasn't going into the game. I'm still not, because I think the Patriots will get things sorted out, and I think they'll get healthier on that spot with Mankins and Vollmer and Waters. But that was not a good start for the Patriots O-line tonight. They got Tom Brady's block knocked off early on in the game. And one other one that I'd like to throw out there, since we touched on the backup quarterbacks. If Tom Brady, heaven forbid, were to go down with an injury at some point, how confident are you that the Patriots' backup quarterbacks, the combination of Hoyer and Mallett, the Patriots could sustain an injury to Tom Brady with those two guys? Something else to chew on while we're kicking around this preseason opening 7-6 win for the New England Patriots over the New Orleans Saints. Let's get to some of your feedback here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com. Steve from New Zealand writes in, guys, so that first quarter was as ugly as it could possibly get for the offense. The line leaked more than the average Italian cruise liner. Very, very worried about the O-line. Great first look at Chandler Jones and Hightower. Thought that Chung had a pretty good outing against the high-powered Saints offense, and the D stood up pretty well. Mallett, by the way, writes Steve, is gone, gone, gone. Couple of things. I actually thought Chung struggled a little bit more. I know he had that gift-wrapped interception, but again, he was part of that third and 22 that was converted by the Saints early on in the game. I'm going through my notes here. Second drive, rather third drive, and between Chung and Moore and Roby is able to wiggle open for a 30-yard reception. So again, I wasn't down on Chung, but I wouldn't go out of my way to say he had a great night. Gift-wrapped interception and was part of that third and 22 conversion. Chandler Jones was great. I also wasn't overly impressed with Hightower. You know, he was in there right when he moved into the middle after the Dane Fletcher injury. He was in there on a 13-yard run by Pierre Thomas, I believe, completely out of position in the middle of the defense. And I thought there were a couple of plays, crossing passes, across the middle of the field, specifically another one to Roby, 12-yarder, right across the middle of the field in the Saints' fourth drive, beginning of the second quarter. I thought he got lost in the wash. I thought he lost his man going across the middle of the field. So, I don't know. I'm not saying it's time to be down on Dante Hightower or anything, but I wouldn't lump him in with what Chandler Jones did tonight. I wouldn't quite go there with Dante Hightower. I didn't see quite the same amount out of Hightower that I saw out of Jones. But that offensive line, I don't know. Even people who are relatively optimistic, like me, about the Patriots' offensive line, and I am. Even people who are relatively optimistic about the Patriots' offensive line, going into that one, can't be impressed with what we saw. And especially Nate Solder. I think he's the key one. I was talking about this at halftime with a few people up in the press box. Chris Price, WEEI.com, one of them.
I think a guy like Solder, as Andy would say, not sold.
So bad. But we were talking in the press box that, look, a lot of people, at least going into this one, if you were concerned about the offensive line, it was the interior of the offensive line, right? You're without your two starting guards, no Mankins, no Waters. And I just think that's where a lot of the concern going into the game would have come from, and it turns out it's the tackles. Three penalties between your two starting tackles, and Marcus Cannon lets Will Smith completely tee off on Tom Brady. At the end of that first drive, which was sort of like two drives, because again, the Patriots had their drive extended by a penalty on the Saints. But Brady's fumble, you can't be having that in preseason games. And I've heard the debate, and I shushed it going into this one. I didn't give it any legs, you know, that how much can you play Tom Brady with a patchwork offensive line? And I figured the Patriots would look better there. And a lot of people who are concerned about the O-line, for a day at least, you were more on the money than I was. Again, you can get in touch, webradio@patriots.com. You can also give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. It's the Sun Life Patriots post-game show. We are live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Let's get to some of these phone calls. Melvin is in Tennessee, and you're first up on the Sun Life Patriots post-game show. What's going on, Mel?
Hey, man. How are you doing?
Doing well, man.
Okay. I just had to ask about two particular young Patriots I wanted to comment on and see how they did. Was Rabbi Dowling and then Jake Beckett. Was Jake Beckett ever get any pressure?
Beckett had a pressure and a sack in that one, and I'm trying to remember. Dowling had a play where I want to say he had like a pass breakup on the sidelines, and I remember he was celebrating after he broke it up, and the ball was live on the field until the officials blew it dead. But he was in the mix on one play, but he didn't start the game. Patriots started with McCourty and Arrington, and Dowling came in sub packages. So read into that what you will. I didn't think he stood out a ton. I thought Beckett, in limited playing time and late in the game, flashed a little bit and, you know, was able to show some of the pass rushing skills that he showed in the SEC last year. So that was my takeaway on those two guys, Mel.
Okay. That's all I need to know. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call, Melvin. 508-298-0398. It's how you get in touch here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. You know, I was a little surprised at that, by the way, that Arrington opened the game on the outside and Dowling came in, and he and Wilson were two of the first guys to come in sub package for the Patriots. I was a little surprised by that. So we'll see. You know, does Razai Dowling work his way up a little bit on the outside? You know, or is he behind Arrington at this point? And how does the depth chart look at cornerback? That's one of those things that, I don't know, you kind of make notes of it in the first game. Maybe Razai Dowling is looking in a different role than how he opened last season. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can also email us, webradio@patriots.com. We'll take your thoughts on the Patriots' preseason opening win over the New Orleans Saints, 7-6. Your thoughts on the O-line, your thoughts on how the rookies looked, and also on the backup quarterback play, which was underwhelming, to say the least, tonight. William writes into webradio@patriots.com. Pac-Man, Hoyer has some familiar names at wide receiver. Stallworth, Julian Edelman, etc. Is Chandler Jones that good, or is he going against the Jag? And no, I'm dead serious. I don't know anything about the Saints line. Is the guy with the funky name playing out of position or a Pro Bowler? And again, that's Bill writing into webradio@patriots.com. No, he's going against Jermon Bushrod. He's going against a good offensive lineman in New Orleans. And someone who, again, singled out Chandler Jones in the joint practices this week. It was one of the things that I took away anyway. You know, it was pointed out by a number of the beat writers that Bushrod willingly and openly compared Chandler Jones to Jason Pierre-Paul from a build standpoint. And I'll tell you what, he did nothing to dissuade from that tonight. Couple of pressures, and also he was able to draw a couple of holding penalties against Bushrod. So he certainly did his job. On Hoyer having a few familiar guys to work with in the passing game, I actually thought he and Edelman, and even Mallett and Edelman, had a nice thing going. And I will say, because I was relatively down on the Patriots' backup quarterbacks, there was one point in the game where I thought they looked all right. You know, outside of their long scoring drive in the second half, 14 plays, 97 yards, which was capped off with a Britt Davis touchdown, the only Patriot to get in the end zone. But that was mostly Vereen doing the running on that thing. It was a 97-yard drive. Vereen had 63 yards on the ground. Patriots ran for 70-something on that drive. So I wouldn't give the quarterbacks too much credit there. But I will say, going into halftime, I thought Mallett looked all right on that last drive. And I thought he looked much more comfortable in the hurry-up than he did at any other point in that first half. And I thought the Danny Woodhead screen, if you remember that right before halftime, 20-yard play where he gets out, gets behind his offensive lineman, had plenty of good blocking downfield. I thought that was a nice play. It was well set up. And I thought that was one of the plays that stood out to me with the backup quarterbacks. And ultimately, it was capped with a missed 53-yard field goal by Steven Gostkowski. But that was really one of the only points, that little hurry-up right before halftime, where I thought the Patriots looked all right. Or I thought the Patriots' backup quarterbacks, rather, looked all right. It's the Sun Life Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com. I'm Adam Jones, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can get in touch. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Taking your thoughts on the Patriots' preseason opening victory over the New Orleans Saints. They win by a score of 7-6. Real barn burner in there, Kevin. Mike writes into webradio@patriots.com. I'm Mike, and you think the Patriots go 16-0 and win a championship. Go Patriots. I do not think that. I don't think the Patriots go 16-0. I've said this a number of different times. If you're asking me the over-under on wins for the Patriots this season, I said it before, I saw what I saw tonight, and I'll continue to say it. If the over-under is, call it 12.5, 13, somewhere around there, I'm taking the over. No, I think this Patriots team should be able to win 13 games. They did it last year. They won 14 the year before. I think they're better. I think they're better offensively and defensively. They've made additions on defense that you saw tonight with the rookies. and they've made additions on offense, led by Brandon Lloyd, who I haven't touched on yet. And I got to tell you, it took some restraint from me to not put Brandon Lloyd on my bad list tonight. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. That opening drive, if you remember, Patriots have their drive extended after a Saints penalty on that opening punt. And they're working their way down, and Brady finds Lloyd on the sideline. Beautiful throw by Tom Brady. Throws it to Brandon Lloyd's back shoulder right on the sideline. Just a perfect pass. Bounces right off Lloyd's shoulder. Another play later on in the first half. And actually, just a few plays later, Tom Brady looking down the field for Brandon Lloyd, who had his man beat, and Brady just completely underthrew him. And I'm not sure if that's on Brady per se, or if it's just the timing between those two and they need to work it out more. Because, look, I ultimately think Brandon Lloyd is going to be a nice piece of this offense. I don't think he's going to put up monster stats in year one. But I do think in big situations and when you need him, he's going to space out the field and create opportunities underneath for Hernandez, for Welker, for Gronk. And if you leave him alone, then Brady's going to find him. Maybe the timing isn't great now. Maybe they don't have it completely down pat. But I do think he'll be a nice addition. That said, didn't think he played great in this game tonight. He did have one excellent highlight reel catch. Of course, it was negated by the offensive line. Nate Solder had a holding penalty after Lloyd reeled one in across the middle of the field. I didn't think it was an overwhelmingly good first performance from him. But you can weigh in. Your thoughts on Brandon Lloyd, the biggest addition to the Patriots offense. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Mike writes into webradio@patriots.com. Adam, if we send Brian Waters a fruit basket, would it help motivate him to come to camp? Also, how did Tavon Wilson look? How about the secondary in general? Well, I'll tell you what, Mike. On Brian Waters, we'll start there. I don't know what the deal is with him. And my sense is he just doesn't want to go through training camp at this point, right? He's put in enough years. He proved last year he doesn't need training camp. He doesn't need preseason to get into game mode. He basically went out week one last year against the Miami Dolphins. And, you know, didn't have a ton of preseason work under his belt. Barely had any practices under his belt. Came out, essentially went wire to wire in that first game against Miami en route to a Pro Bowl season. So I don't think he needs it. And deep down, he knows that. The Patriots know that. I don't think Bill Belichick loves it that he's not here. But they'll tolerate it. It's why he's excused from Patriots activities at this point. So ultimately, I expect him to be there. And look, if he's not here, oh, well, as long as he's here week one, that's all we really care about, right? The secondary I go back and forth on. Because you look at the final numbers, 188 passing yards. Patriots had a couple of picks in this one. I think they played pretty well. And I think they played especially well early in the game against Drew Brees, who was just 1 of 4 for 4 yards early on in that game. And you remember how it went. You know, Chandler Jones pressures Drew Brees on the Saints' second play of the game. And on the second drive, Jerod Mayo had a nice pass breakup. Those were all while Brees was in the game, although they were able to convert a 46-yard field goal from John Casey with a short field after that Tom Brady fumble. But I thought those first two drives against Drew Brees, Patriots looked pretty good. And yeah, it was a small sample size. And yes, Drew Brees was without one of his favorite targets in Jimmy Graham tonight, which I don't think should go unnoticed or unmentioned. But I thought in general, the secondary looked all right. Barring a few poor plays out there. And Sterling Moore happened to be involved in both. That 3rd and 22 play, and also the pass interference on, which, if you think it was a questionable call, all right. If it wasn't Luke McCown, or whoever was throwing the pass at the end of the game, Sean Canfield, or whichever quarterback it was at the time, if that was Breeze throwing that pass, that thing was a touchdown. So you can call it a questionable call all you want, and I know some people in the press box were doing that. I thought it was not a great night for him. In general, though, I thought the secondary played pretty well. I thought the defense played well. They gave up 6 points. They had a couple of sacks and could have had more, and a couple of turnovers in that game. So I thought the defense played relatively well against one of the best offenses in the National Football League. I felt pretty good about what they were able to accomplish tonight. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Continuing to work our way through there.
By the way, Adam.
Yeah.
As we're getting here deeper and deeper into the podium, I think you can see it off to your side here.
I see
the studio.
Pat Chung up there right now. Yes. I already saw
so we got,
Belichick.
Who else is up there?
We got Vereen?
Coach Shane Vereen, yeah. Chung. But it just seems to be kind of precarious why 12 hasn't been up there yet. You know, usually he goes right after Coach, and he's out there quick.
So I feel like we went through this last year. Does he always talk in the preseason?
He doesn't always talk, but it's kind of rare that he doesn't. Like, there's probably only a few times a year where
he think he talked in some of those preseason games last year. I don't really care. I mean, no. I would like to hear from him, but I don't really care. If Brady doesn't want to talk after that thing, he only played two series.
Exactly,
so,
but
whatever.
It goes along with what you said. You know, things didn't exactly go swimmingly for him in the first teamers, those first two series of the game. So, and it has been true to the past where when he throws up a stinker, sometimes you don't see him at the podium.
Yeah, look, I wouldn't read too much into that. I feel like this happened last preseason, and I guess we can go back and look, but I feel like this happened last preseason. By the way, I think Shane Vereen, who was at the podium, so obviously...
We'll hear from him.
Obviously, he's getting some pub, and rightfully so, after this game. Just remember, there are two numbers that I think we should focus on with Shane Vereen. One is the positive one. He had 7 carries, 63 yards to start the second half. So, fine. That's good. That's positive. I would put more emphasis on the 0 snaps. Not 0 carries. 0 snaps in the first half for Shane Vereen, which is why I had him on my good list. But remember who he was going against. Second, third stringers in the second half. And I also think Stephen Ridley is going to fly under the radar a little bit. I thought he ran very, very well in this game. 8 carries, 40 yards. I thought there were some tough runs early on. I'll tell you, it didn't look good. And he's someone who I haven't had a chance to view up close. Brandon Bolden.
Yeah, no, that was a dumb move going out of bounds. That last possession.
At the end of the game,
sit
right?
Sit down.
You know,
a 6-yard gain. You know, you just sit on your butt and take your 6 yards.
And look, the Patriots are just, and it's a preseason game, so ultimately you want to win them.
But that's one of those situational plays.
But
though.
It's just, ultimately you want to win these games, but you're right. This is a situational thing. Yeah. Saints had just missed a field goal, right? That could have put them up.
Exactly.
9-7 at that point. Casey misses a 41-yarder, yanks it, and the Patriots are trying to work their way down and kill some clock, and Bolden runs out of bounds, and ultimately the Patriots go 3-and-out after they get a gift-wrapped missed field goal from Casey. And Ryan Mallett just completely overthrows his receiver on that final drive. That was disappointing. You can put away the game, and ultimately the Patriots wound up winning. But you're right. Not just Bolden, Mallett, I thought that
cost you 40 seconds by not going on your fanny on that play. And especially after you get a big chunk of yards like that and you make it a second and manageable, you need to get down.
And Patriots ultimately pull out the preseason opener 7-6 over the New Orleans Saints. It's the inaugural, at least for the season, Sun Life Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com. Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. We want your feedback on this game. Here's how you get in touch. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or you can email us, webradio@patriots.com. We'll continue with your feedback, and we'll also hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick. That's next on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Horizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. We're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. Right now, you can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. $19! Beautiful spring weather, Fenway's 100th birthday, and great deals on Red Sox tickets with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square. You just can't go wrong. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or go to aceticket.com from any device.
1-800-MY-SEATS. What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Transmission?
Root canal.
Central valve?
Towaway zone!
Obedience school! Set! Uh-oh. Oh, dear.
Life is full of unexpected expenses.
Study abroad?
An exterminator?
Sleepaway camp?
Engaged?
He fractured what?
Pay for your mother's flight?
Yeah, why? You got a problem with that?
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Bank of America can help you be ready for them.
Guitar.
Piano.
Tuba lessons.
Twins.
Did what on the new carpet?
Let Bank of America help you build a buffer. Regularly set aside money with automatic transfers from checking to savings. You choose how much money to move and how often.
She made Nationals. Great. Where are Nationals? Oh.
Automatic transfers to savings. One of the many ways Bank of America can help you stay on budget. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/solutions.
Honey, look, I bought a new vase.
Oops. Nice.
Bank of America NA, member FDIC. Copyright 2010, Bank of America Corporation.
Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Want to hear from you. Your thoughts on the Patriots' preseason opening victory over the New Orleans Saints. 7-6. A lot of offense in this one. A lot of head-scratching quarterback play, to be honest. And a number of things jumped out over the course of the game. You can get your feedback in. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can also email us webradio@patriots.com. Quick recap. At least from my view on this one, real mixed bag, as it should be in the preseason opener. You're going to knock some of the rust off. I thought the good, the positives, if you will, outweighed the negatives in this one. Honestly, like, if you're asking me if I feel better about the rookies tonight or worse about the O-line and the backup quarterback play, I think far and away the bigger story is how the rookies looked, especially Chandler Jones. Phenomenal. I don't want to say unblockable, but there were stretches where he was. And he's not going against chopped liver. He's going against Jermon Bushrod. So I think he far and away is the story. Hightower was a bit more up and down for me. And I still like how much he played. I think that's a positive, an obvious positive. But I thought there were points, especially in pass coverage, where he didn't impress me as much as I was anticipating. But guess what? He and Tavon Wilson, for me, are sort of in a similar boat. They played an awful lot, which is a good sign for a rookie in the preseason opener. And also Jake Beckett, granted, in the second half flashed a little bit. So rookies at the top of the draft for the Patriots showed up an awful lot. That's a good thing for this Patriots team. The negatives, though, the obvious one, the offensive line really, really struggled to protect Tom Brady throughout. And specifically Nate Solder, that's the one that I'm most concerned about. Marcus Cannon gets beat. Guess what? I hope he's not starting at right tackle when the season opens. He really shouldn't be if Sebastian Vollmer is healthy enough to go. So, not that I'm willing to give him a free pass, but I'm willing to overlook that a little bit more. We're not talking about a first-round pick and a guy who you expect to protect Tom Brady's back blindside, which Nate Solder is. So, I was concerned about his play tonight. But I still feel like the Patriots will get it sorted out on the offensive line. And another question, which we want to pick our way through the entire preseason. If, heaven forbid, Tom Brady goes down a la 2008, how comfortable are you in the Patriots' backup quarterback situation? I remember talking to a lot of you last preseason, excited about Hoyer and Mallett. And I feel like that's waned a little bit. I feel like it waned over the course of last preseason. And I feel like it waned tonight because neither looked good. Neither looked good. I was particularly disappointed in Hoyer. You know, everybody loves Mallett. Big kid. Big arm. To me, his decision-making is a bit questionable. Holds the ball an awful long time. I thought he had the better drive of those two guys in the game right before halftime. I thought he had the best drive out of a backup quarterback. Hoyer, to me, I just expected him to operate at a higher efficiency level. So that's another question on the Ace Ticket Hotline. 508-298-0398. You can also email us webradio@patriots.com. How do you feel about those Patriots backup quarterbacks? If Brady were to go down for a week, a month, the season, could those guys do the job in the interim? That's something we'll work our way through, as I said, the entire preseason, starting with tonight following the Patriots' preseason opening victory 7-6 over the New Orleans Saints. Sun Life Patriots post-game show live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. As we do each and every post-game show, we now go to the podium and hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick.
Certainly a lot of things we can learn from tonight. And you know, I thought our players went out there and, you know, tried to compete for 60 minutes. Obviously a lot of things we got to work on, but you know, we're underway, and you know, just keep plugging along. Hopefully we can build on tonight, build on this week, and you know, have a good week next week and start, you know, start piling things up so we'll be ready to go on opening day. And we competed for 60 minutes. I thought we worked hard.
If we can improve and do the things that, you know, execute the things that we want to do. So, you know, we'll look at the film, see how all that goes, and, you know, see just what, you know, what things we need a little more work on, what things we, you know, are doing fairly well. You know, you could have several guys do things well and have one breakdown, and, you know, you don't have a good play necessarily, but it doesn't mean that, you know, some of the other elements or parts of the play aren't there. So we'll see how that looks, or maybe there'll be multiple things that broke down on certain plays, and it didn't show up on the play. We got away with it, but you know, we still need to get those things fixed. So, you know, take a good look at the film and you know, correct our mistakes. I mean, that's what this is for.
All right, so that's Patriots head coach Bill Belichick. Obviously, a little bit a technical difficulty from the Patriots head coach. What's going on there, Collins? He got sped up. He started talking really fast. He wanted to get out of here. What was going on with Belichick?
A helium balloon or something, I think. It wasn't the speed, it was the pitch.
Some celebratory balloons in the Patriots locker room after their preseason opening win.
As long as they weren't ecstasy balloons.
So look, we'll get back to some of that. Maybe we can work on the audio and get that fixed. And if not, our apologies here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones inside our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. We'll continue to get to your feedback. 508-298-0398. You can email us webradio@patriots.com. Before we get to some of those emails, I just think with Belichick, and I was just following some of the tweets, and we didn't hear it there, but I think with Belichick typically downplaying Chandler Jones's play in that game tonight, right? Like, wasn't overly effusive, didn't praise the rookie for his play tonight, but they're going to know, they're going to see. When they go back and watch the film, and they know it from watching the sidelines, that's a pick that looks awfully good right now. And I say that as someone who didn't love the pick at the time. You know, I didn't love the idea of Chandler Jones. I thought there were a lot of similarities to him coming out of college as there were to Jermaine Cunningham. You know, I didn't think there was a high level of production from Chandler Jones. And at least with Cunningham, it was in the SEC on an excellent team. With Jones, it was in the Big East on a not-so-excellent team, right? Not a very good team at Syracuse. So I wasn't gung-ho about the pick specifically. I love the idea the Patriots targeted a pass rusher, traded up and got him, and did the same thing with Hightower. But to be honest, I didn't love the player necessarily that they got with either of those picks. Love the idea of moving up. Love the idea of addressing the front seven. But wasn't huge on either of those players, specifically Jones. And I'll tell you what, through one preseason game and a bunch of training camp practices, I seem dead wrong on that because he looked excellent in that game tonight. And Bill Belichick and the coaching staff are going to see that when they go back over the film. They may not want to compliment him publicly right on the podium after game one of the preseason, and I understand that, but they're going to see the tape, and he just jumped off the screen to everyone watching that game tonight. It's a Sun Life Patriots post-game show. Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can get in touch. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio at patriots.com. It's where Brian in Essex, Vermont writes in. Guys, the offensive line definitely can't rest with their performance. Brady can't be taking hits like that all season. Without a doubt, we have to get Waters back and rest the folks who are out. And Brian has a number of points, so we'll work our way through them individually here. First one's on the offensive line. I told you, not overly concerned about the offensive line. Now, granted, didn't love how they looked tonight. And I guess tonight, I mean, what do you give the offensive line in the game tonight if you're grading it? You do your report card tomorrow, you give them an F, right? I mean, they got Brady leveled and did a poor job protecting him. So they get an F for tonight. But big picture, I believe they'll get things sorted out. I believe they'll get healthier. Mankins, Vollmer, Waters, and guess what? If not, I believe Scarnecchia, with those guys that we saw tonight, I believe he'll get things sorted out. You know, I believe if you had to go into the year with Solder, Thomas, Copen, Connolly, Cannon, Wendell, McDonald, like if that's who you have to go into the season with, I believe they'd get it sorted out, and I believe they'd protect Tom Brady. That's how I felt about it going in. It was not a good first preseason game. I understand that, but I'm not going to change my stance. One preseason game in. They have a month to get it sorted out, and they should get healthier. So as bad as they looked, and as I said, if we're doing a report card here and grading the O-line, it's an F. But I don't feel too down on them going in. You think I'm tough on the offensive line? They were atrocious tonight.
No, you remind me of Dante a little bit, yelling at him. You know? But just wanted to interject here for a second.
Sure.
You want to listen to a little more, Coach? I think I might have.
You got it sorted out?
I think. Let's find out.
Collins, let's go back to the podium and hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick following his team's preseason opening victory, 7-6.
I think really all the players that I saw, especially the rookies, you know, some of them did, you know, some good things. There's a long way to go. We got a lot of work to do. So, I don't want to get too up or too down on anything. You know, we just want to keep working and getting better. We played a lot of people at every position, so I don't think there was any position that we didn't play a lot of people. So that's what these games are for, to evaluate the players. Well, he's played on all four downs for us. You know, he's played on first and second down, played on third down, and played in a kicking game. So, you know, he has some versatility, and he said, you know, roles on different downs at different times or in different game plans. So he's done all those things to some degree. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll evaluate him like we, you know, do with any situation like that, and see what the doctors say. I'm no doctor, Tom, you know that. I think Mike Pereira has made his comments on the officials. I don't know who knows more about NFL officiating than Mike Pereira, so I'll leave it to him to. I'm just trying to coach our team and get our team better. I'm not worried about what everybody else is doing. It's not my job. We rotated players. Some players, I think they all played about. Where we had some guys rotate and then they played longer, and where we didn't rotate, then those guys didn't play as long. Yeah, well, as you know, he's been playing all three positions all through training camp. So.
Was the plan, though, to play him off, or was that just staying
on? Yeah, he's been playing there all through camp. So. Which two is that? We had five guys. Some good things, some things we got to work on, but they competed. You know, I thought they made some plays. Probably, you know, there's a couple reads and technique things that could have been better. But you can say that about everybody. Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say that we lit it up offensively at any point or in any aspect of the game. I thought each of them had their. You know, again, we had some good things. We had some other things that weren't so good that we need to improve on. Some corrections we need to make, timing things we need to work on. So it's like that at every position. We good? Okay. All right, thanks.
All right, a few takeaways from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick following his team's preseason opening victory over the New Orleans Saints 7-6. I think most Patriots fans would agree with his characterization of the offense. They didn't exactly light up the scoreboard at any point. Though, I don't think you could say the same thing about the Saints, or I think you would say the same thing about the Saints, rather. You know, the Patriots defense did a good job in this one, limiting especially Drew Brees, but the Saints offense in general. Remember, Chase Daniel looked pretty good in the Saints preseason opener against the Arizona Cardinals, and I don't think he's a garbage backup quarterback. And guess what? They limited those guys. So, yeah, Belichick may be downplaying what the offense did, or I shouldn't even say downplaying. He's down on what the offense did, and I think most Patriots fans are, headlined by the offensive line, but the quarterback play as well. But, you know, I think the other side of the coin there is that the defense played pretty well in this one, especially against the Patriots' first-teamers, though, again, no Jimmy Graham in this one. However, a few other things that stood out to me from Bill Belichick. One, the Dane Fletcher injury. And Dane Fletcher himself, you know, is not the biggest loss for the Patriots. Like, undrafted guy, been on the roster, but they should be able to sustain an injury to a Dane Fletcher type. However, I think the bigger storyline is how dinged up the Patriots are on the inside. You know, Fletcher was in the game as a punt returner, but you would think that, or covering a punt rather, but you would think he would at least help with the mix in relief of Brandon Spikes. And who knows how badly Spikes is hurt, right? At this point, who knows? He's someone who's been on and off the field. It's something we talked about quite a bit on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Andy Hart and Paul Perillo, right? We talked about the Brandon Spikes injury quite a bit, and we talked about how Dane Fletcher could be someone who helps out on the inside. We said maybe it's Carpenter, maybe Hightower kicks inside, which ultimately happened. I think that's a rough injury just because of the lack of depth right now on the inside at linebacker for the Patriots. And Belichick had a little bit of a back and forth there with Tommy Curran saying, hey, I'm not a doctor. You know that, Tom. But in general, you know, when you see the reports, Dane Fletcher, torn ACL from Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, I would tend to believe that, right? They're going to be without Dane Fletcher probably for the season. Also, Bill Belichick's comments, I think, on the officials was interesting. And maybe he just doesn't want to throw his hat in the ring. You know, maybe he just doesn't want to deal with the fallout. The headlines tomorrow, Bill Belichick bashes replacement officials or whatever it would say. You know, I'm assuming he just wants to stay out of the fray, right? That would be my guess with Bill Belichick not taking the cheese there on that question. Hey, Mike Pereira knows a lot more about officials than I do, and he's already said his piece, blah, blah, blah. I will say, and I agree with Mike Reese, I was reading his reaction post-game, goes through and gives a bunch of different points on ESPNBoston.com, and he wrote, replacement refs, not a major issue. The game was played with replacement officials, and there were no major issues, and I agree with that.
I got an issue, Jones.
What was it?
For the first, like, three or four whistles of the game, he left his mic open and almost blew my eardrums out.
I did have a few different tweets about the officials over the course of the game, and you can follow me at Adam Jones, ESPN. The mic was horrendous, yeah. And I joked that maybe it was a backup mic.
No, it wasn't the mic. He blew the filament out of the first one, gotcha. And one of my guys had to go replace it, like, gotcha. Maybe 4 minutes into the game. So it's never a good sign.
Sounded terrible.
You know, you're 5 minutes into the game and you're already on backup. Uh-huh. You know, what happens from there?
Sounded terrible.
He was like that cartoon ref that, like, got nervous and, you know, the whistle goes up in the air and then goes down his throat.
Right.
And so the rest of the time when he's talking, he just starts whistling.
Yeah.
It's no good.
So that sounded terrible. And also, he kept calling false starts offsides, but other than that, whatever. I didn't think they stood out in a major way. Now, it's a terrible thing going on in the NFL, and it is the height of hypocrisy for the NFL and Roger Goodell to say that they care about player safety and then trot out high school and small college officials. That's who's officiating these games. It's not major Division 1A officials who I would feel better about, still not great about, but better about. So it's the height of hypocrisy from the NFL. That said, for one night in this game, I didn't think they were a major issue. Around the league, I saw Peter King and others tweeting about an awful missed touchback call by the replacement officials. I haven't seen it. But apparently there was an awful call, I think, in the Redskins game, but it may have been in that Chargers game because that was the nationally televised game as well. So certainly a storyline to monitor. I didn't think it was a big deal here. And Bill Belichick didn't take the bait, didn't decide to go in when he was asked point blank what he thought about the officials. Before we got to Belichick, we were mid one of these emails. Brian, in Essex, Vermont, great state, the Green Mountain State, had 6 points on the Patriots, his thoughts on the game tonight. We already worked our way through the first one, the offensive line. He continues with his second point. I know people were thinking that Jones, being Chandler Jones, is rough around the edges and will take time to develop. Let me tell you, if that's rough around the edges, I can't even imagine what he's going to look like when he's fully rounded. It's a good point, right? Like, it's a good point by Brian. If he is raw, and that's what we all thought, you know, if that is a raw prospect for the Patriots, then they hit a home run here. And I'm just reading some of the tweets rolling in. Chris Price, WEEI.com writes in, Rob Ninkovich on Chandler Jones. He's like 6 inches taller than me. He's got length in his arms, and he's got all the tools. And we knew, as a physical specimen out of Syracuse, there were the comparisons there to Jason Pierre-Paul, whomever. You knew from a physical standpoint he had all the measurables, but I just didn't see a high level of production from him in college. And guess what? He's already flashed an awful lot, not just at training camp, where a lot of the local beat guys have said he's stood out at some of these practices. But also in this thing tonight, he jumped right off your screen. It was apparent how much he was dominating that Saints offensive line. Continuing to work our way through Brian's email. Third point. Hightower wasn't as impressive as I was expecting. However, he did show some things. I think one of his biggest problems was not wrapping people up and simply pushing or running straight into them. I saw it a little differently with Hightower. I thought he was more of a liability in the passing game. That was how I saw it. There were a number of crossing patterns underneath, or short passes across the middle of the field that I was like, this guy is wide open. And, you know, whose responsibility is that? And I feel like I looked up a few different times, and it was Hightower. There was one I also chalked up to Chung across the middle of the field, but I thought that was generous because Hightower let him run right through the middle of the field. But there was one. It was a 12-yard pass to Roby, who also had that 30-yard conversion on 3rd and 22. But that 12-yard pass to Roby right across the middle of the field, first drive of the second quarter, I thought that was particularly egregious by Dante Hightower. That said, I like how much he was on the field. You know, I like how much he was out there. And I didn't think he did anything overly bad. I just thought, at least in some passing situations, he stood out in a not great way. Fourth point from Brian, writing into web radio at Patriots.com. Mallett and Hoyer are useless. I have no confidence in their ability to take over for Brady if, knock on wood, he goes down. And that's a question that, again, we don't just have to do it one night, take a snapshot in time. Something we'll work our way through the entire preseason here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com. You can give us a call, Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio at Patriots.com. If, as Brian notes, knock on wood, Brady were to go down, how confident are you in the combination of Mallett and Hoyer for the Patriots to continue winning for a game, a month, an entire season? How confident are you in those two guys? Continuing with Brian's points, special teams is looking good. I like how quickly the Pats were on top of receivers after the punt. And Kevin Collins actually noted on this earlier, Marquise Cole is someone who stood out. You know, I thought there were some struggles for the Patriots, their return game, and I actually think this will fly under the radar a little bit, but Danny Woodhead had a puzzling decision to start the second half. He was kind of in his own end zone, and he ran out, and I don't think he knew whether he was in or out of the end zone at that point. And he wound up getting tackled at the 3-yard line. And the Patriots strung together a 14-play, 97-yard drive. Vereen was able to do the bulk of the running on that drive. 7 carries for 63 yards, but real head-scratching decision by Edelman. And the Patriots were forced to start at their own 3-yard line that drive. So I thought their return game left a little to be desired. I thought their coverage was pretty good. And I thought, you know, for what he is, I thought that Zoltán Mezco had a nice night kicking the football as well. Obviously, Gostkowski missed a field goal. That's going to mark you down a little bit on special teams, as well as that puzzling return by Woodhead. And finally, the sixth and final point from Brian, writing into web radio at Patriots.com. Running backs looked awesome. I'm excited to see Tom Brady throwing to those receivers in the tight ends while dumping to the running backs to keep things mixed up. It's going to be a very, very potent offense. And I would likely have been more potent, or it would have been more potent, rather, had the Pats Saints not shared practice the past couple of days. For a lower scoring game than most expected, I'm encouraged by RD and the running backs. And again, that's Brian working his way through a number of points on the Patriots' first preseason game here at Gillette Stadium, a 7-6 win over the Saints. I agree.
And I think a lot of people are going to look at the final box score, and especially that drive that we just referenced right out of the second half, where Vereen got a lot of touches, looked elusive, had a long gain of 18. And a lot of people will say, well, he really stood out. I thought Ridley was as impressive, and Ridley's longest gain was 9 yards, but I just thought they were consistent chunks of yards when Ridley was in the game. And I don't know, just looking at those three guys tonight, and I guess Woodhead as well, those four guys, I thought he completely distanced himself from the other Patriots running backs. I don't even think it was close. Like, Vereen was going against second stringers. Ridley was going against starters. So I thought he really had himself a nice night. I was impressed by Stephen Ridley tonight, and I've been higher on him the most. I know some are down on him because of ball security issues at the end of last season, had a fumble in the regular season and a fumble in that game against Denver, and then was not heard from for the rest of the postseason. I didn't totally get it with Ridley. Didn't totally get it then, and I would have been disappointed if they continued to bury him this year. And look, if he has a fumble, I guess we'll reevaluate it. But I thought he looked great in the game tonight. Brandon Bolden is one who I had read a lot about and was looking forward to seeing. He didn't really flash for me tonight. You know, did have one nice carry, 13 yards. But other than that, 8 carries, 23 yards. Relatively quiet night from him. And also, I don't know if this was a reception or a run. I'm looking back over my notes here from Bolden. I think it was a run. They were 3rd and 3 at one point, late in that first half, I believe it was. And, you know, Bolden just gets stacked up for a loss, and it was disappointing. So, you know, I didn't see an awful lot out of him, and he was somebody who I was looking forward to seeing. I thought Ridley and Vereen, considering who it was coming against for Vereen, I thought they were pretty good. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. That's where Walter writes in. Adam, watching the game tonight reminded me how much I dislike the preseason. How about 2 preseason games, 2 bye weeks, and a 17-game season? To bring some intrigue to the 17th game, how about it happens on the 9th week of the season, and the opponent is chosen at random the week before? Tickets to the game will be sold out the week of the game, and the entire stadium is up for grabs, so the opponent's fans get a chance to see the game. This game is not included in the season ticket holder package. You know, I don't know about putting a random game in the middle of the season. My sense is that would be a logistical nightmare for the NFL. So, you know, I don't know how much you'd consider that. And my sense is we can just throw that out. But shortening the preseason, I don't know. I think that's a legitimate criticism. You know, I enjoy some of these preseason games, and I'm not one of these people who believes you can't learn anything from preseason game. I think we learned quite a bit tonight. Like, there are things I thought we learned about the depth chart tonight, namely the running backs. As good as Vereen looked in the second half, he is way down the depth chart. We talked about it earlier with the secondary. Kyle Arrington has a leg up on Rossi Dowling, and I didn't expect that. I thought your starters on the outside were going to be McCourty and Dowling, and Arrington was going to be your sub-package guy. That's not the way it worked out tonight. And also, when you had some injuries to Brandon Spikes, Hightower kicked inside. I think there are things you can learn from these games tonight, or these preseason games. But do you want less preseason games for the health of players? Maybe there's an argument to be made there. Patriots lost Dane Fletcher tonight. You know, Michael Vick dinged up his hand, although supposedly he's going to be okay. You also had Ryan Matthews break a clavicle. He's out 4 to 6 weeks. So I guess there's a case to be made for shortening the preseason. I think it's all right as it is. You can get in touch, Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on the Sun Life Patriots post-game show. We've taken you through a number of the highlights from this game tonight. We'll get to some other standout performers from the Patriots, including Shane Vereen and Pat Chung. That's straight ahead on the Sun Life Patriots post-game show here on patriots.com.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. We're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. Right now, you can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. $19! Beautiful spring weather, Fenway's 100th birthday, and great deals on Red Sox tickets with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square. You just can't go wrong. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or go to aceticket.com from any device.
1-800-MY-SEATS. What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Transmission?
Root canal.
Central valve?
Towaway zone.
Obedience school. Set. Uh-oh. Oh, dear.
Life is full of unexpected expenses.
Study abroad?
An exterminator?
Sleepaway camp?
Engaged?
He fractured what?
Pay for your mother's flight?
Yeah, why? You got a problem with that?
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Bank of America can help you be ready for them.
Guitar.
Piano.
Tuba lessons.
Twins.
Did what on the new carpet?
Let Bank of America help you build a buffer. Regularly set aside money with automatic transfers from checking to savings. You choose how much money to move and how often.
She made Nationals. Great! Where are Nationals?
Automatic transfers to savings. One of the many ways Bank of America can help you stay on budget. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/solutions.
Honey, look, I bought a new book. Vaz.
Oops. Nice.
Bank of America NA, member FDIC. Copyright 2010, Bank of America Corporation.
Welcome back to the Patriots postgame show, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Have an opinion on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios, here's your host, Adam Jones.
Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Here on Patriots.com, Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Yes, sir. But I'll reiterate, here's how you get in touch. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. I think a few different key points to get to with the Patriots tonight. Number one, what'd you think of the rookies? Because I was blown away, specifically by Chandler Jones, who we'll get to momentarily. Also, the offensive line. How do you feel about it? They struggled protecting Tom Brady tonight. Big picture, I'm still all right with them. I still think the Patriots will get it sorted out, and I also think the guys we saw tonight won't be the guys we see week one of the season. There's also this one, and this is bigger picture, but something to talk about throughout the course of the preseason. And again, we'll take your feedback. 508-298-0398. It's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. If Brady goes down, knock on wood, heaven forbid, whatever you want to say, do you trust Hoyer or Mallett to take over this team? And we got a tweet from Juergen at me, at Adam Jones, ESPN. Dude, don't talk about Brady going down. I think most Patriots fans feel that way. That's why I prefaced it with knock on wood and heaven forbid and other things like that. He writes, however, I don't trust either Hoyer or Mallett to take control. It's too soon. And I'll answer my own question. I wouldn't trust Mallett at all running this offense. You know, I thought he had the better drive out of the two backups right before halftime. He's the one who looked pretty comfortable in the hurry up, led a decent drive, had a nice screen pass to Danny Woodhead, which set up a missed field goal by Steven Gostkowski, but a scoring opportunity for the Patriots right before halftime. I wouldn't trust Mallett. But you know what? I don't know why Hoyer would be any better or worse than what we saw from Matt Castle in 2008. Like, honestly, I'd be fine with Hoyer. You know, you don't want Brady to go down. But I trust that the Patriots would be able to coach up Brian Hoyer and not win a Super Bowl, but compete for a playoff spot like they did in 2008. I believe they could with Brian Hoyer. Yeah. I wouldn't believe that with Mallett, not really, from what we've seen through only five, granted, preseason games.
I really like Hoyer. I like what he brings. I like the fact that he's been around for 3 years now. But the thing that kills me about him, Adam, is when you watch him, whether it's in practice or tonight, the first pass even he threw tonight is what drives me nuts. Julian Edelman ran like maybe a 12 to 13 yard out route, and the cornerback was semi in front of him, and it was just this lob. I mean,
that's the one that almost got picked.
Yeah, it just.
I'm looking at it in my notes. You want to hear what I wrote, Collins?
It looked like me and my father playing catch out on the Gillette Stadium field the other night. It was awful. There was just no oomph behind it.
These are my abbreviated notes on Hoyer for that throw. And, you know, I just keep them in the margin. So
I should publish these, by the way. I don't get very wordy.
You
should sell them.
That's my note for that throw. Hoyer, awful throw. Julian Edelman, flat. That's all it says. But you're right, just a complete duck.
And it wasn't like we're talking about like a post route or a fly. I mean, you're literally talking
about...
He's had a guy sitting open in the flat.
No, you're right. 12, 13-yard out route.
You're totally right, Collins. You have to make that throw.
Totally right.
That's him in a nutshell. He just doesn't have any arm.
That said, I think he looked great tonight, but I think we've seen something over the last couple of preseasons out of Brian Hoyer. And even when he's played in the regular season, I think we've seen some flashes from him.
No,
so
I agree.
I'd be relatively comfortable the Patriots could, again, compete for the division and thus compete for a playoff spot, you know, given what we've seen out of Hoyer and given their track record with Matt Castle in 2008. Real quick, because I mentioned the rookies, just reading here from Mike Reese, ESPNBoston.com, on Chandler Jones. He went over to the Saints side, the locker room, to get some of the quotes from the guys over there. And as we said, noted a couple of different times, Jermon Bushrod said last week, or earlier this week rather, that Chandler Jones looked a little bit like Giants defensive lineman Jason Pierre-Paul in practice. And tonight, he repeated some of those thoughts after the preseason opener. I think he's going to be a good player in this league, said Bushrod. It was a battle out there. I think he has a bright future ahead of him. I didn't like either one of them. The holding penalties, that is. The second one, they said he was going to the ground, and I guess they thought I forced him to the ground, but I didn't. He definitely looks the part, and he's a good physical specimen. And look, Jones is 6'5", 260, and drew those consecutive holding penalties, which have to be embarrassing for a six-year veteran like Jermon Bushrod. And he can say he didn't like the calls all he wanted. I thought there were two other pressures as well from Chandler Jones. One on the opening drive with Breeze in the game, and the other was right before halftime, the sixth drive for the Saints. So their second-to-last drive of the first half was also able to get some pressure on Sean Canfield. So I thought in the first half he was all over the place, played a ton of snaps, as really all the rookies did. Hightower, Jones, Beckett, thought it was promising out of all of them. And look, that Patriots defense tonight I thought was pretty good. And specifically, I thought the secondary was all right. And speaking of the secondary, let's hear from a member of the Patriots secondary. Safety Patrick Chung, following the Patriots 7-6 win over the New Orleans Saints tonight at Gillette Stadium in their preseason opener.
Yeah, I mean, having a bunch of young athletic guys out there is definitely good. Guys that want to learn, and they're learning fast, you know. So it's the first game, first preseason game. Just got to build on it, get better, and see how the season goes. But it's good to have guys like that, man. They're working hard out there, so it's good to see them having some success. Yeah, definitely. It always feels good to get an interception. I mean, it feels good, man. You know, like I said in the question before, man, it's just preseason. But you still got to make plays, man. It's just practice for, you know, regular season. So when it comes around, you're not surprised. So I'm taking any interception, easy, hard, kind of hard. I'm taking all of them. So it was good. Felt good.
Steve had one today, too. How much have you been able to help him as he's kind of gotten used to his surroundings?
We kind of help each other, man, because he's a veteran. He knows a lot of things that I don't know, and he helps me out, and I've been here for a while, so I kind of help him out. So it's kind of like a relationship. So, I mean, relationships can only get stronger, you know, so we're going to see how that goes. But, yeah, I love playing next to him, and he helps me out a lot, definitely.
A little bit about
Oh, it's always like that. But that's what makes us better. You know, always competing, always trying to outdo the other guys. So that's why you make playoffs, when you win. You know, so it's all good. Now he can't talk about me. That's more of practice, more things that we, you know, execute during practice and tell them, hey, get to the ball. It's more of a consistent thing. So during the game, it's kind of like second nature. So, I mean, it's older guys, younger guys, it really doesn't matter, man. You have to have relentless and get to the ball, and that's what we've been practicing. I mean, it's just the first game. You know, I have to do that multiple times. I have to do that consistently through the whole season. But, I mean, it's a very good start. You know, we'll take that. But now we have to keep doing it. It can't just be one game. We have to keep doing it, you know, for 16, 20 games. You know, however many games we end up playing, we got to do it every game. Can't get a chip off one game, off one preseason game. You know, we have to build and get better, make the communication better, make the play better, make some plays on the ball, you know, fumbles, I mean, all types of everything. Everything's a factor, man. And just having one game doesn't really tell you anything. You have to get through preseason, get a couple games under the belt, and then we'll see if we get that little chip. Dane's good. He's a good, smart, physical, tough guy. Very intense. I don't talk about those. I don't talk about those. That's a question for Coach, man. I just know he's a good player. 3, 2, 1. I'm out of here.
Peace out from Pat Chung. 3, 2, 1. I am done. Done answering questions about my teammates. And I'll tell you, as someone who's interviewed Pat Chung a few different times on this program and also, you know, one-on-one coming off the field and whatnot, he is so by the book with that, which, whatever. Yeah. I mean, if the coaches tell you that, he will not answer a question that's not about him.
He's a great guy, though.
No, he is.
And he'll give you some personality, but he knows
totally
his limits.
Totally agree. He's not answering questions about his teammates. He's not answering questions. How'd Tavon Wilson look? How'd Steve Gregory look? You know, he's not going to answer questions about his teammates. So whatever, you just have to know that when you're interviewing Pat Chung. I will say this. One, I think he's the one guy you can really count on in the secondary. Like, you can't health-wise, but when he's out there, he's the one guy, like, I think you know what you're going to get out of him. And maybe you only get it for 8 games, maybe you get it for 10, maybe you get it for a full season. I don't know. But when he's out there, I think he's someone you know what you're going to get. I can't say that about anybody else back there. I can't say it about McCourty. I can't say it about Dowling. I guess you can sort of say it about Arrington, actually.
Yeah. What do you have, 7 interceptions last year?
Yes. Yeah. And who has any clue what you're going to get out of Gregory or Tavon Wilson? I think by the end of the season, and maybe even mid-season, maybe a couple of games in, we saw it in the past with Eugene Wilson, I don't think Steve Gregory is an every-down starter in this league.
I don't either.
I think he's best suited to sub-packages.
Yep.
So
he's a good depth guy.
I think Tavon Wilson's going to take that position and run with it. That's my belief on Tavon Wilson. Maybe it'll be 2 games in, maybe 5 games in, maybe half the season, maybe the end of the season. I think he's going to be your starting safety back there along with Pat Chung. But on Chung, health aside, and I guess that's a big thing with him, health aside, I think you at least know what you're going to get from Pat Chung. I can't say that about anyone else in the Patriots secondary. I can't. Looking over things here with the Patriots tonight, and specifically Chung, I also think that secondary, as I said a few different times, had a good night. And Steve Gregory had a pick completely gift-wrapped by his teammate, Jerod Mayo. You know, Mayo's the one who made the play. Gregory was able to come up with it. And Chung also had a gift-wrapped interception. That was the worst throw of the night, and there were a lot of them. It was Sean Canfield, and it was just an awful, awful throw. And basically, Chung played center field, dropped right into his arms. So that's part of the reason you're able to hear from Pat Chung, who, by the way, did elaborate a little bit on his teammate Steve Gregory tonight as he got to work with him for the first time in a game situation. You did hear a little bit of that from Pat Chung. It's a Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios is where we're doing the Sun Life Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com. Adam Jones with you, taking you up until midnight here. You can get in touch. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. One of the other things, we talked about this right off the top of the program, Patriots lose Dane Fletcher. And multiple reports indicate it's a torn ACL. Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, was the first one to allude to that. A few of Dane Fletcher's teammates were asked about it in the locker room after the game. Rob Ninkovich, so fresh right now, I don't really want to talk about it. Obviously, he hasn't had an MRI yet or anything, so you really can't jump to conclusions on that. Also asked about it. Ninkovich continued, rather. Great player, obviously. He's a special teams guy that's always able to get out on defense and that can contribute. Just an overall good player that you'd like to have for the whole season. Dane's been a great guy. He really helped me out a lot. And with him and Gerard Mayo, we had a really tight linebacking group. That was
sort of
Bobby Carpenter,
like a eulogy. It's
weighing in. Yeah, I mean, they know. I mean, they know.
Yeah,
everyone knew. They can't say anything definitively like, oh, yeah, man, he's done for. They can't come out and say that because Belichick will wallop him. But, you know, we know.
We'll hear about it as a leg.
And I don't want to overstate Dane Fletcher specifically. I feel bad if he's going to be lost for the season. I do. But, you know, I don't want to overstate his impact. I just think that's a position the Patriots couldn't afford an injury at, given Brandon Spikes' injury pass and also given the fact that he's hurt right now.
Yep.
Also at the podium tonight, and we've talked about him extensively throughout the course of the program, and I don't know what to put more stock in. That drive to open the second half, 7 carries, 63 yards for Shane Vereen, or the fact he played 0 snaps, 0, in the first half. He was a second-round pick last year, and an undrafted guy like Brandon Bolden or even Danny Woodhead were playing over him in the first half. But Shane Vereen had a decent night in the second half. And he was at the podium following the Patriots' 7-6 win to open the preseason over the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, it felt good. I mean, it was the first time to finally strap it on and go live, and I think everybody felt really well, felt really good out there.
Were you surprised to get the reps when you got them, and as many as you did?
I don't say I was surprised. I mean, the coaches do a good job of keeping you prepared, and they tell you to stay prepared for the whole 60 minutes, and mentally I was prepared.
After what happened to you last year, and it must have been a frustrating season for you, imagine it felt pretty good out there.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you get to, you know, strap it on and go play with the team, you know, it's a great day. So it felt really good to be out there with the fellas.
What did you have to do physically?
Yes and no. I mean, I was able to play a little bit on special teams, so that helps. And I think more important than physically staying ready is mentally staying ready, and I was able to do that.
Do you still?
Yes and no. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I don't. I mean, we have a pretty young stable of backs right now, and so I think Woody is kind of like the vet of the group, and you know, he does the best he can to keep us informed and so that we don't feel so much like rookies. But you know, every now and then when stuff comes up that we haven't handled before, you know, you tend to feel a little like a rookie.
What was your excitement level or energy level? It's been a while since you've had that
carry. Yeah. You know, I just wanted to go out there and do the best I could for the team. And it was as simple as that. I was excited because it's been so long since I played with the injuries and everything, but I just wanted to go out there and perform as well as I could with the team.
Good to know you still have it. 2 years.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it felt good. I mean, it felt good to be out there running, and the O-line did a tremendous job. I can't take hardly of the credit because they did a tremendous job.
Shane, you know, it's production counts in this business. To get the reps, to get that production up, you have to produce in the limited amount of reps that you have.
Mm-hmm.
How important is it for you in your mind to keep producing so you can get the more reps to show more things?
Well, I think offensively we need to produce, and you know, and I think running the ball is a big part of the offense, obviously. And when the run game is able to produce, I think we'll be able to be a successful offense. We just need to improve a lot upon that.
How about you personally?
You know, I go out there and I do the best I can for the team. Whatever the coach is asking me to do, I do the best I can to, you know, to fulfill what their needs, what they're asking me to do.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys watch each other? Are you trying to one-up each other out there?
I think more than trying to one-up each other, I think we learn from each other as far as mistakes, because we both make a ton of mistakes. And so we learn from that. If he makes a mistake doing one thing, I'll know next time on my rep not to make the same mistake, and vice versa. I think as far as competitive is concerned, I mean, we go out there and we do the best that we can for the team to make the team, the run game, a lot better than what we are right now.
Are you guys teaching each other mid-game? Are you talking to each other mid-games, telling each other what you're seeing out there?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think that's a big part of, I would say, any offense or defense, you know, learning what the defense is doing, what he's seeing as a running back, because it's a lot different from what you see on the sidelines. You know, you're only given so many opportunities, and you know, to be out there, to be able to go out there and play well as an offense. I mean, we still have a ton to work on and to get better with. But for that little drive, I felt like, you know, the offense, we did pretty well. We succeeded pretty well. All right, thank you.
I don't know there are many Patriots fans that feel that way, that the offense succeeded and played pretty well. I think they did all right on the ground. And if you didn't watch the game and you just look at the box score, you go, hey, Vereen, 11 carries, 64 yards. And if you look even closer, he did it all on one drive, basically. And he did look good. I mean, he looked elusive. He's going against backups and backups. I was more impressed with Ridley in the game. 8 carries, 40 yards in the first half against starters, ran hard. I thought he looked good. Not to bash on Vereen, but I would put more stock in the zero snaps played in the first half. Hopefully you get more of this. Maybe this gives him an opportunity to play in the first half next week, or I guess on August 20th when the Patriots play the Eagles, so a week and a half from now. But I was more impressed with Vereen in the backfield tonight. Patriots running game in general, I thought seemed pretty good, looked pretty good in this one tonight. 126 yards, about 4 yards a rush, and that's without a lot of their best offensive linemen. Checking over some feedback here. Pete tweets at me, at Adam Jones, ESPN. And this is referencing the Patriots pregame social, where we were talking about the over-under, and the Patriots were three-point favorites, and the over-under was 38 points. It should be a high-scoring game. Pete tweets in, this is why you don't bet on preseason games. Pat Saints, not close to the over. So I guess we'll learn our lesson there. I didn't actually bet it. But, you know, I was asked the question, you know, if it's 38, what are you doing, over or under? I was definitely hammering over, and this is just more proof why you don't bet preseason games in the NFL or any sport, for that matter. Duke also writes into web radio at Patriots.com. Adam, I'm in New Jersey, which is an absolute football drag. Anyway, speaking of the depth chart, I propose a question. Tom Brady, the best of all time. What would it take for you to make a trade of Tom Brady with Mallett and Hoyer in the wings and a realistic trade circumstance? God forbid anything happens and Brady plays till he's 50. I mean, it would the time to do it, and I wouldn't have done it then, but the time to trade Brady, if there ever was a time, was coming back from his injury in 2008. And Matt Cassel led you to 11 wins. Like, if you were ever going to trade Tom Brady, and again, I wouldn't have done it then, wouldn't do it now, now is the time to do it. And I only say that to say this. If they didn't do it then, they ain't doing it. You know, it doesn't make any sense for the Patriots to move on from Tom Brady. I think the more pertinent question, and it's something we'll continue to pick our way through this preseason, how comfortable are you with the backup quarterback situation? Because it was ugly tonight. Yeah, that was on my bad list, along with the offensive line tonight. You know, those are things that stood out. You know, in general, I think you have to feel good about the rookies. Ugly, low-scoring game, but guess what? Come the regular season, I'm confident the Patriots can score. I am. I'm confident that Tom Brady will have things figured out by the preseason. I don't know. Call me crazy. And I thought there were nice, positive steps out of the defense in general, but specifically the rookies. Chandler Jones looked great in this preseason opening victory for the New England Patriots, 7-6 over the New Orleans Saints. Patriots do not play again, as we said, until August 20th against the Philadelphia Eagles. Wonder how much Mike Vick will play in that game after injuring a finger on one of his teammates' helmets while following through on a throw. And again, that's coming up 10-plus days away against the Philadelphia Eagles. That's the next game for the New England Patriots. Final score for the final time, Patriots 7, Saints 6. That will conclude the Sun Life Patriots postgame show here from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. We appreciate the feedback, web radio at Patriots.com. Also, the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. We look forward to hearing from you August 20th. Against the Philadelphia Eagles. I'll be on the pregame show with Andy Hart and Paul Perillo.
You're everywhere.
And we'll be doing the postgame show throughout the course of the season. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you then on Patriots.com.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.